You know, I don't know about for you, but for me, these last few months, connection with people has been an incredible thing that, in a lot of ways, I think I just took it for granted. You know, I mean, you think about it. I mean, some of the things that we've always done, our routines, our habits, actually lead us to where we have encounters with each other. And those routines are all off. I mean, you know, the normal everyday things that we do are distant. You find out more and more, and I think, you know, how much you yearn for intimate relationship as opposed to transactional relationship. But there again, I think that so many of us have that kind of mixed together because intimate relations also have transactions. I mean, think about it. You go to Publix and the woman that's at the checkout line, you took that for granted for years. But if you've been around here for years, you know the name of the person, you know their family, you know what's going on a little bit. And as you check out, you know, I mean, you used to get fed with that sort of intimate relationship even though you were doing transactions. And if you live by yourself, well, then I would think that it's really difficult because in so many ways, how do you continue to connect with people? And I'll be honest with you, you know, all the technology you can have, it's great, but it's still not the same. It's not the same as being up front. Trying to talk to somebody face to face is totally different than trying to do it over Zoom or some of the other things, go to meetings. You can get on the phone with them, but still there's that sense of needing to be touched, to be in the same arena, the same environment. You know, I thought about that a lot because I think God created us to be in relationship both with Him and with others. I think that that's really the secret of the Christian faith is relationship. That's what it's always been. It's not about, and you've heard me say this 1,000 times, but, you know, Christianity is a lot less of a system of morals and ethics than it is a system of transformation in relationship. I mean, not that morals and ethics aren't important, but if you're in a process of transformational relationship, then you'll be moral and ethical. Because you'll be moving in the direction that God wants you. So you'll automatically be moral. But if you're just moral and ethical, actually you're keeping score. It's like, you know, it's like, well, I look good, so I do everything right. But you may not have any relationships. You know, some of the folks that I know that think I do things perfectly are the least relational people I've ever met in my life. I was reminded of that when I read the Old Testament lesson. The Old Testament lesson is an interesting one. It's the story of Jacob. Jacob, who later on becomes Israel, but Jacob, who is basically the second son of Isaac, the second patriarch. You have Abraham, Isaac, and then you get Jacob. Jacob was a twin, not an identical twin, but a fraternal twin of his brother Esau. Esau came out of the womb first, so he was the firstborn. Jacob was the secondborn. But it says that they were so close that Jacob was holding on to the heel of Esau as he came out. We're told that there they were together. Esau was totally different than Jacob. Esau was a man of, in a sense, you know, going out in the field and hunting and fishing and all that. So he was a man's man. Jacob was more a mama's boy. He was home. He and his mother were real close. And, you know, he stayed at home a lot more. Well, it came to the time where his mother knew that Isaac was going to give the birthright away. And, well, when he was going to give the birthright away, it would automatically go to Esau, the firstborn. So he told Esau to go out and get some game and come back and cook it up for him. Esau had previously already sold his birthright for a bowl of stew from Jacob because one day he went out hunting. I guess he didn't get lucky. And he came back, he was starving, and he said, just give me that stew, I'll sell you my birthright for nothing. He didn't care, he despised it, as the exact words of Scripture says. But here, Jacob, all of a sudden, is in the position where his mother connives him into going in to steal the birthright. He puts fur on his arms so he's hairy like Esau is and the whole nine yards, because Isaac is blind and can't tell very well anymore. There's an interesting line in there in this process, and it leads to what goes on here. When Jacob says to Esau, here's your food, Jacob says to Isaac, here's your food, Isaac says to his son, wait a second, I just sent you out for game. How did you do it so fast? And Jacob's response to Isaac is, the Lord your God gave me success. The Lord your God gave me success. Well, he steals the birthright. Esau comes back, realizes that he's gotten the birthright and gotten the blessing that he was supposed to get, has been given to Jacob. Esau is incensed. It's to the point where he's thinking about trying to kill Jacob, his brother, and he knows that as soon as Isaac dies, he's going to kill his brother. Well, once again, mom comes into the picture and says, I got to get my son out of here, but you can't go to Isaac and say, well, I got to get him out of here because he stole the birthright. She goes to him and says, you know, I don't want my son Jacob marrying any of these local girls. You know, I don't want him to be married to a Hittite woman. I want him to go back to my family and find somebody suitable out of our tribe. That's when we lead to the story that was just read. He's fleeing. In actuality, Jacob is fleeing being killed by his brother. But the story, the spin, is that he's going to get a wife. And he goes out and he comes to a place which later is called Bethel. It's right near Haran. And when he gets out there, he's tired and he falls asleep and he finds a rock and he turns the rock sideways. It's a nice rock to have as a pillow when he goes to sleep. And when he goes to sleep, it says that all of a sudden he dreams that there's a ladder planted on earth that's going up to heaven, and the angels are ascending and descending. And God speaks to him. And God says, I'm the Lord your God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. And then he promises Jacob that he's going to bless him. He promises, he says, I'm going to bless you big time. I'm going to give you children. I'm going to give you land. And I'm going to be with you always. I'm going to give you safety always until I've fulfilled all of it. I'm going to be with you always. I promise you that. And when Jacob wakes up and he says, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. You've sung that if you came to the 10:30 service, by the way. And I didn't even know it. I had no idea. This is the house of the Lord. And he names it Bethel. He takes the stone that was a pillow, turns it straight up, and he pours oil over it to make it so that the stone is pointing to heaven. It's an altar. It's basically the first altar in the Bible. Barbara Brown Taylor says it so well. It's the first altar. It's interesting because this is a place where Jacob, who just days before said, the Lord your God gave me success, now is saying, the Lord's my God. He's my God. He's got a connection with the living God that he never had before. He's got a connection that's alive and real. He's got to know personally that God is really with him. And for the rest of his life, although he makes buku mistakes, and is conniving and deceitful at times, and not exactly what you call the perfect man, he stays in relationship and connected to God, and God stays in relationship and connected with him. And his name becomes Israel, because he's got the 12 tribes, and he's one of the three patriarchs. Why is it that it's so important that God and we are in relationship? Why is it so important that we don't take that for granted? You know, it's funny because if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, you all have heard it in the beginning, you know, God created the heavens and the earth, and it goes through the days, and here's your test for 10 points and a trip to the Bahamas. After every time he creates something, what does he say? And it was good. In fact, when he creates people, it says, and it was very good. Except for one day. There's one day, the second day. And the first day he creates light, he says it's good. The second day he separates the waters from below and the waters from above. In other words, he separates the heavens from the earth. But he doesn't say it's good. You see, God never wanted to be disconnected from us. It's we that disconnected from him. God's always created us to be in relationship with him. But it's we who go on our own ways and wander away from him. It's God who's pursuing us, even though sometimes we think we're pursuing him and trying to figure it out. It's God that's always been there, and all he asks is us for us not to take it for granted. You see, we live in a world that, you know, is made up of wheat and weeds. It's difficult being here. And to navigate through the wheat and the weeds as we go through life, we need God with us every step of the way and to be connected with him. And in these last few months, I think you've probably figured out just how important, well, being connected is to other people. But have you been really aware how important it is to really make sure that you connect to the living God? Not to perform for him. Let me make this clear. It's not where you say, okay, God, at the end of the day, I was very moral and ethical today, so I'm a good guy today. No, he wants to hear about your whole day. He wants to hear about the things you're struggling with. He wants you to hear about not just having a transaction with him like the Publix lady, but rather to have an intimacy. How are you doing, God? And God, how are you? You know, I'll tell you how I'm doing. You tell me how you're doing. He wants to be in full relationship with him. But most of us never get there. Most of us keep taking it for granted as though God is this transactional God. I pray to him with my needs rather than praying to him with my heart. This is my life, God. You gave it to me. Be with me. You know, I can remember real clearly years ago when I first moved to Florida. I was working for Rinker Materials. I was the highest educated concrete driver they ever had. I was the only graduate of Princeton that drove a concrete mix, one of those big orange ones. It was a lot of fun. We were pouring concrete on Spaceship Earth down in Epcot, and that's where I was working. And I had made a series. I was, you know, in my early 30s, and I had made some really poor choices. I mean, big choices that could have affected the rest of my life. And I'll never forget on a Sunday morning waking up knowing I had to make a decision about something really rapidly and not having the decision and not knowing where to go and just laying in my bed on Sunday morning and thinking, well, I'm not going to church. I didn't get anything out of that. I'm not going there. I'm not going to connect there. You know, he's not going to tell me anything there that he won't tell me here. And I started to pray. All of a sudden, I started to get really anxious. I know none of you have ever been worried or anxious about an impending decision, but I was. And it got so powerful over me that I started to pray, God, please talk to me. Please, please give me the answer that I need. Please just give me the answer that I want. Direct me to the where I've got to do. What do I got to do next? And I began to weep. And all of a sudden, I heard real clearly, call it a feeling, call it words, whatever you want to call it. I know it was real. I heard him say, why do you treat me like Santa Claus? I'm your father. Why do you treat me like Santa Claus? I'm your father. I started to cry a little bit more, and I said, Father, I just need you in my life right now. And I know that no matter what happens, whether it goes the way I don't want it to go or the way I do want it to go, if I'm with you, it's going to be okay. You know, in this time of unrest, if you're connected to God the Father, then it'll all be okay. Yeah, you do have to navigate through the wheat and the weeds. But don't get distracted. Don't take the creator of it all for granted. I hope I don't. Every day I try and pray, God, let me just be with you today. Not so I can perform for you, but God, let me just be with you today. So that in the process, we can get to know each other. And in the process, you can show me you as much as I come to you showing me. As you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that you come knowing God desires with his whole heart to connect with you more deeply than you are connecting right now. And he prays, I believe, for us as we pray to him that we let him in. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.